Okay, well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. So I love doing Mother's Day messages. So I'm going to do my typical, not really, I've got there's some special things. But I wanted to start, today the name of the title of my message is A Beauty of a Queen. And I want to go to Esther, but before I get to Esther, and I'm kind of, I was excited because Wesley shared on Esther a couple weeks ago, and she was sharing about the season of fighting from a place of victory, and really that we're in a time of transitioning from this place of receiving from God to a place of warfare and victory, that we declare who Jesus is and we stand from that place of victory rather than coming and just receiving from him and being blessed, that he's called us out. And it's really significant because I don't know how much you guys personally get out into New England, but I'll tell you the strongholds of New England are beginning to shake. There is a lot of movement spiritually in New England. There's a lot happening, a lot of very significant things that are shifting. And, you know, we've been working with the churches for a really long time. And when you get together, you begin to hear the testimonies of breakthrough. And I'm not going to go into all of it because I want to get to my message, but it's amazing. And so we're in an hour of really warring from that place of victory. And just like Wesley was talking about last week, was remember, I loved that part when he said, you know, they've had such victory, what should we do? And she goes, give them another day. And so there's this place of plundering the enemy's camp. And we, as a church in New England, really are rising up to this place of coming to a place of beginning to plunder the strongholds that the enemy has put up. And it seems so dark. Everybody called, you know, we're the frozen chosen, and, you know, oh, New England's really dark. And people in the South, that's what they look up here and think, oh, that's such a dark place. And but not anymore. I mean, we're seeing the melting and we're seeing things come. And so it's this transition place. And this is what I want to talk about. The same thing that you see in Esther, I want to talk about a transition. I'm going to talk about specifically about women today, but I want to say this. I want to give a precursor to the message about our identity, because everything is based out of who we are and the fact that we were made in the image of God. And in Genesis 1, 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And this verse is so significant for women, especially in today's culture where there's so much feminism and different things fighting of the genders together. And here you see that we as women are created in the image of God. Not that God is not woman, he's not man, he's above gender, he's super gender. But as man and woman, we are created both equally in the image of God, and we both carry an identity mark of who God is within us. But in saying that, today I'm going to give a message for women, obviously, because it's Mother's Day, and we want to celebrate the image of God in the women. But in saying that, I want to say this. I could equally give a message celebrating masculinity. And I'm fascinated. I love gender. And you can ask Sean, I love masculine. I'm like, oh, that is so awesome. Masculinity is such an awesome thing that God created. I know that sounds funny, but I mean, it's just amazing. It's like, and I want to say that it's important, because when I don't want to, in our culture, we're pitting one against the other. And there's a real push towards emasculating men and masculinity. And that strength is God-given. It's an image of who God is. And we cannot be the women that God has called us to be without honoring it, respecting it, and celebrating that aspect of manhood. So I just want to lay that out so that we're not, because I in the message, I don't want, as I'm celebrating women, I don't want anybody to feel like I'm trying to give us some extra boost or place, because we're both created in the image of God and we both carry that authority. So, amen? Okay, so now let's get into Esther. When we read about Esther, this is the transition of... So we were talking about transitioning from this place of receiving from God into victory in terms of worship and strategy and warfare. And as women, we can see in the life of Esther, and this message, actually, I had preached something similar to it about 5 years ago, and when God had really shown me there was such this big trend about us, like women being a princess, and you saw all these little cute quotes about, you know, I'm his princess, and you know, he's the king, and it was really, it's cute, it's great, but there's a season in a woman's life where we come into Christ and we receive, but then there's a place that you grow into a place of authority and you become a queen. And we can't stay in this place of receiving from the Lord. We have to allow the cross to take its place in our life and transform us into this place of womanhood, that we begin to walk in an authority that demonstrates the power and the beauty of a queen. And that's where God's called us. And so in Esther's life, we look at some of the characteristics of her. Esther starts out with Queen Vashti sort of refusing the king and leaving. And there's a lot of interesting stuff about her, because she sort of looks like the bad guy in this. And I don't know, in some ways, I think you could probably, what he asked her to do was a little bit probably degrading. So I don't really want to get into that. However, he got rid of Vashti for whatever. God's doing whatever he wants to do with Vashti. Her son does become king later, so whatever. But so she's gone, and now the king is looking for another queen. And Esther, we see she's brought into the harem, and we see these places of integrity and character that are being formed in her. She had been raised with her uncle Mordecai. And it says here in Esther 10, it says, Esther did not make known her people or her kindred, for Mordecai instructed her that she should not make them known. And so you see that he had given her direct instructions when she was taken, and she operated at this place of obedience. And these places of character that you see Esther demonstrating were things that God was building in her. And then a place of humility and teachability. It says in Esther 15, 2:15, it says, she did not request anything except for what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the women, had advised. And Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. And so you see that she was asking for information. She didn't come in saying, okay, I've got this. And this is what I'm talking about. Even today, the beauty of a queen is not being in this self-confidence. It's being in this humble confidence that God has bestowed authority on us. It's something that's given to us. It's not something that we wield with this arrogance and power. And you see this in Esther's life. There's this humility and teachability where she is saying, you would know better than me, so let me receive from your gift. And being able to do that. And this gave her favor in the sight of the king. It says the king loved Esther more than all the women. She found favor and kindness with him more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And this is super, super significant, because she operated in these places of character. And when we begin to allow the cross to take its place, and I want to start there with the cross, because God has called each one of us as women. He's looked at us and he's chosen us. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he's looked at us in all of our mess and all of our lack. And as moms, we're always, you know, you have your self-talk where you see all your failures and you're thinking, oh my God, you made me a mother? Like, really? We're excited about it first. And then we get in and we're like, what did we do? I didn't realize it was going to be this way. I don't have all the answers. But in all of that, Jesus sees our potential. He loves us. He calls us out and invites us into a relationship with him. And as we come to the cross and humble ourselves before the true King of Kings, we receive a salvation and a grace and a mercy that he pours out onto us. And he chooses us. And then he gives us a crown. And this is where you've transitioned from this place of receiving the salvation of the cross. We're transformed, and he gives us all that we need to live a godly life. The Bible says that you have all you need to live righteous before him, that he's given it to you. And we transition from that place, and we receive the crown, and all of a sudden, all this integrity and character that we've operated in becomes transformed into a place of authority. And it says that as we humble ourselves in the sight of God, he will exalt us in due season. And so there's this place that we come in humility, that as we do that, we're transformed into these queens that wield power and authority. And God has given you a crown in your household. God has given you a crown in your marriage. God has given you a crown of life to wield the authority of the kingdom. And you're operating in a place of victory with that crown. And so I want to speak to him, because I feel like the enemy beats up on moms a ton. and it's a hard job, and they just don't listen like they're supposed to. Right? The kids, you're like, I've had moms say that they just don't do what I'm asking them to do. It's like they, you know, especially when they get a little bit into that older place. But I want to tell you, I'm very serious about this, that there's a transformation at the cross, and if we'll walk into maturity in Christ, and it's a process, but the thing that I want you to hear today is that it's not enough to be a princess and feel special. God is calling you up to be a queen and to walk in authority so that you can see your surroundings transformed. And we'll see, listen to this. So going further, let's move ahead. When you become a queen, you walk into a place of bravery. Here, the edict of Haman, he wants to kill all the Jews. He sets everything up and gets it ready. And Mordecai comes to Esther, and he says to her, then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Powerful, powerful word. Because he's saying, just because you're in the king's house, you're not going to escape. You've been called to be a queen for a purpose. And then she risks her life and she says, okay, get everybody to fast and pray. And I'm going to go before him. And when she goes before him, unlike Vashti, she didn't just do what she wanted. She went before him and she said, if it pleases the king, we see the places of character, integrity that were built into her that gave her the place of authority in the first place. She still operates out of them. And this is where you see the beauty of that authority. It begins to cause favor on the hearts of people. You win friends and influence people when you look like Jesus. So when we fight from this place of striving, we create something ugly. But when we can walk in that place, that beauty of that place of obedience and submission and humility, all of a sudden we see an authority in our life that can shift things. And even with the spoken word, you begin to speak out and change things. The Bible says to speak those things that be not as though they were. If you're in a situation in your life that you're saying, oh my gosh, this is so hard and it looks so desperate and so terrible, God is saying, speak into it, speak life. God has given us an ability of Christians, and I know that message has been abused, but we cannot lose the power of the spoken word that God has given us. And today, as we walk into that place and we receive the crown and we stand in a posture, because the difference of what I'm talking about, the posture of a princess is one that's constantly receiving an affirmation from the Father, and not that we don't need that, sometimes we do, but it can also become a place of victimization if it goes on and on. Because you're perpetually, you know, I'm the princess, right? Give to me, I'm the diva princess. But you never begin to use, you know, what's the purpose of that? God is saying, no, I want you to receive my affirmation so that you can learn character. You can feel loved because it's that place of belonging that gives us security. And then he calls us forth and he gives us the crown of authority. And he says, wield your sword as a queen. Change the situations around you. Begin to see from my perspective, from the place of victory, and seeing that it's not all destitute, that we have a mighty God who is mighty and able to save. He is mighty and able to change. He's able to change your situations. He's able to change the nation. There is nothing too big for this God. And he's on the move today. And he's inviting us as women to be a part of what he's doing. And he's calling us forth out of this place of feeling like, oh God, I need you for today. I need you for today. And he's saying, no, you have me for today. You have all that you need for life and godliness. And the posture of her heart has to transition from being a princess into recognizing that I've made you a queen to stand in a place of authority and wield my power. And in your kids' lives, when we see, I know there's many moms that are praying for their children. God has given you authority. Stand in it. Walk in it. Trust that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And this is the beauty of the queen, that she knows that. She can walk confidently. It says, hold on. In Proverbs 31, of course I had to say that, right? It's Mother's Day. Proverbs 31, woman. It says, you are clothed in dignity and strength. Is verse 25. I'm not reading all of the verses because there's a lot. But in verse 29, it says, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. So Jesus, he's loved you, he's crowned you, and he's chosen you. And I'm so excited. What a gift this morning. Worship was so prophetic. Thank you, Dave Schmitz. So awesome. Fantastic. But I mean, all the songs he was saying, I will rise up. And this is the shout from heaven. God is saying, rise up. He's looking to the women and saying, rise up, rise up. My strength is upon you. My dignity is upon you. And he's calling you with that strength to tap into it, to recognize the posture of our heart coming from a place of feeling like we're a victim, that we need, that we have to receive. And he's saying, no, 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 I've given you that. See who you are. Know your identity in me. You are a queen in your house. And I have given you authority. Speak those words and use them. And just like Esther, you'll see. Let's move forward. And it says in verse 29, it says, the queen Esther, daughter of whomever, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter. And they created a whole tradition called Purim over this whole victory that the Jews had. And I loved this place because it says, with full authority, she wrote it. And this is what God has spoken to you, that with full authority, he has given you the ability to wield his power in your house and in your world that's around you, to be a transformer. And he places us in a training ground, and he raises us up. And I talk to the young people all the time because when you're 20, it's fun to like do all the exciting things. And I'm saying you can go to all the exciting events that there are out there in America today for Christians, and you can really be blessed. Or you can do the hard thing and master the mundane and stay in the place called home and let God transform you into somebody that can change atmospheres. Because you have a gift, and you can take that gift and you can bless a ton of people, and they'll be like, thank you for blessing me with your gift. But there is a place of transformation and formation that if you will commit to it, God will transform you from somebody that blesses people to somebody that can change the atmosphere, that can change the culture around them, that can shift things. But that's somebody that walks in this kind of integrity and character that I'm talking about. Authority is given when you allow the transformation of Christ to operate within your heart. He's called you to the cross. He's loved you and given you everything you've needed. And now he's saying, receive that, and now walk in it. Walk in that place. And then the last verse in 9, it says, the command of Esther established these customs for, whoops, I'm going to go ahead of that, 31. It says, they established for themselves and for their descendants. So what you're doing is you're creating something not only for yourself and your immediate family, but for your descendants. As we learn to walk in this place and we learn to walk in this beauty, all of a sudden it shifts not our lives even just right now, but it begins to go forth into eternity to your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. You begin to set a foundation, just like it says, from generation to generation, sin is passed down, blessing is passed down from generation to generation. And as women, if we can get a hold of what God is calling us into, and we can have enough courage to stand in that bravery and dignity to walk in it, we begin to set a foundation that shifts and changes and transforms generations ahead. It's powerful what God wants to do. He wants to use us to be generation changers, to take the life that God has given us and to let it go forth and bring blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And I'm really particularly excited about this because I'm super blessed in my life. So I'm like, God, this is going to be so cool to see like blessing. I was thinking about that today. I'm just like, I'm in this place. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know. Like, God is so amazing and cool, and it's really, I'm overwhelmed with who he is. And I am excited about this message because I do believe it's a message for the hour. For us, he's calling the church because we're in this place of victory. We need to run with that. And so I just ask the women today, if this speaks to your heart, I think this is quick, but that's me, right? It's Mother's Day. I'm going to bless you moms and get you out to be blessed by your kids. right? But if this speaks to your heart, and if you're somebody that has struggled with the posture, because again, it's a shift of your posture. It's recognizing, it's being informed and saying, God, I believe you. I trust you. And I'm going to walk in this place. And if you're hearing me and you're saying, wow, that seems so hard because my day-to-day seems so mundane. And I know as a mom of young kids, I remember people saying, oh, enjoy it. It goes so fast. And I was thinking, are you kidding me? Like, this was the longest day of my life. And then every day was like another really long day. And I was like, this is not going fast. It can't possibly go any slower. And then you turn around and they're grown. But when you're in it, honestly, I don't know if the young moms can identify with me, but I got so sick of people going, oh, honey, enjoy it. It goes so fast. And I was just like, that's not my reality. But it does. That's how it feels. It doesn't feel that way. But it does go fast. But if that's you and you want God, I want to pray for the women. I want to encourage them. And what I'd like to do specifically, because I think that the enemy is on, there's such an attack for femininity and strong femininity in a godly way. Because I'm saying we see raging feminine agenda, you know, out there. And it's not beautiful. I mean, I can look at it and say that's really not beautiful. Like, that's not beautiful strength. But God is calling us into a place of great strength and to wield out of that image. He's given us a power to subdue situations, to speak life and change things. A mom can say something and change her kid's life for the good or for the bad. And that in some ways is a warning, because we really need to take this seriously, because the words of our mouth are going to We're going to shape a generation by what we speak. We're going to shape a generation by the posture of our heart. And so what I'm talking about today is something that's serious, but in saying that, it's not a place of condemnation, because Christ has given you grace, and there's grace and mercy new every morning. Every day is a new day. And there is a beauty in the kingdom when you say yes to Jesus and you give him an inch. The kingdom rushes in and takes a mile. Because in all of our lack and failures, I've seen it again and again in my own life. I gave God an inch and he took a mile. And I am receiving blessing. I'm receiving blessing from my kids that I did not earn or deserve. And in my brokenness, really shouldn't have. But his grace is available and it's able. He's looking for a yes from you. He's looking for you just to come and say, I'm going to believe and trust you. I'm going to be brave and step out and say, transform me, Jesus. Make me into this woman that you've called me to be. Help me take the scales from my eyes so I can see myself as the queen that you've called me. Help me to see in situations how I can speak life into them. And as we do that and we're transformed, we begin to speak the words of Jesus. And we will see change in our lives. But as the enemy's been pulling on us and telling us that we're not good enough, and you did a really bad job today, and you know, you're struggling with your husband, and you're like, oh, you know, I feel so alone. Jesus is saying, my grace and mercy is sufficient for you today. And he wants to pour out and encourage you that you can take hold of this message, that there's nobody in this room that this isn't for. It's for you. It doesn't matter what situation you are in your life. Jesus wants to break in and do something amazing. And all he's looking for is a yes from your heart. And so I'd like the women that this resounds in your heart and you're saying, God, I want to walk in this place of authority. I want you to come up, and I would like to have the men come up and pray for the women. If that's possible. Is that cool? Does that work? So you can just open up in some worship, Dave, and if that's you as a woman and you're saying, God, I want that place of authority and I want to step out of my reality of what feels so real and walk into your reality of what you've called me with a posture of heart that has victory written all over it. He wants to give you strength for this day and place that crown on your head. Okay, so I have all the moms and women up here, and I would like the men to come up and stand behind them, please. And I really feel this is just a prophetic act. Even having the men pray, it's a prophetic act because they're standing with you. They're for you. Thank you, Father.